Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. A historic day for the Nashville Predators yesterday, spending a lot of money in free agency. They land Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, Brady Shea, Scott Wedgwood. They re-sign Alex Carrier. Big day for the Nashville Predators yesterday. Taking your thoughts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Our text line down today, so if you normally text in, give us a phone call. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds all show long, 615-737-1025. So, Adam, I think the most important question out of all this, as fun as this is an awesome moment for this fan base. You know, I had some people texted me yesterday that are kind of casual hockey fans but love the Preds. And we're like, holy bleep, Steven Stamkos is a freaking Nashville Predator. Like, it's a big day for the fan base, for the franchise. And I think, you know, one thing we haven't talked about yet, I think the ticket office is going to do very well from this. I think when you start seeing some 91 Steven Stamkos Nashville Predators jerseys, that's going to be really cool. So all that stuff aside, I think the most important question is, are the Predators a Stanley Cup contender? Does this vault the Predators into the category of Stanley Cup contention? And, you know, Stanley Cup contender is, a broad term. There are, I think, different tiers of that. But do the Predators qualify as a Stanley Cup contender? Now, I don't know exactly where they were with the betting odds heading into yesterday in terms of winning the Stanley Cup. My guess is probably right around the middle, 16, 17, somewhere in that neighborhood. On the FanDuel Sportsbook, they are 10 at the moment. So they've moved up to plus 2,000 odds. The Panthers, Oilers, Stars, Devils, Avalanche, Hurricanes, Maple Leafs, Rangers, and Golden Knights are the teams that are ahead of Nashville on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Preds are 10th on that list. Ahead of, by the way, the Tampa Bay Lightning. So there's that.
Keep that list up for a minute.
Yep.
So let's go through this. So give me the teams. And by the way, my definition of a Stanley Cup contender is a team that can actually win the Stanley Cup. I'm not talking about a team that can make the playoffs and hope things break right. I'm talking about a team that has a legitimate chance of actually winning the championship. So let's go through the teams above them in the sports book.
Well, I think Panthers, Oilers, Stars, we would all agree. Like, we don't need to spend any time on that.
The Stars
are a Stanley Cup contender.
Yes, but they didn't have a great day yesterday.
No.
They re-signed Matt Duchene.
They did.
Who worked well with them. But they lost Chris Tanev. Their defense took a hit, mostly. They bought out Ryan Suter. They lost Yanni Hakanpaa.
Yeah.
I don't think they did anything of significance up front. They brought in Ilya Lyubushkin.
They did.
On their defense, they signed Casey DeSmith to replace Scott Wedgwood. They brought in Matt Dumba on defense. Didn't have a great day yesterday. I feel like it was maybe a wash when all things are said and done. But yes, I would agree that the Stars are a contender. They just made it to the Western Final.
Tied for fourth on the list is the Devils with Colorado.
Well, Jacob Markstrom will certainly help because they've had terrible terrible goaltending last year. Him and Jake Allen, Markstrom and Jake Allen make up a pretty good tandem, and you're hoping for a bounce back from, you know, Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier. I mean, they were a 100-point team 2 seasons ago, I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
They brought in Brett Pesce on defense.
They did.
They brought in Brendan Dillon on defense. They added Stefan Nason up front. But like I said, they've got a good core there between Brott and Hughes and Hischier. You know, they have Timo Meier. Like, that's a good team. I don't know if I would give them better odds than the Predators.
Yeah, I mean, well, Markstrom also is going to be 35 and has been not very good the last 2 years. So I'm interested to see how that works out.
All right, who else?
Colorado, we would all agree, is a Stanley Cup contender. They have Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar. So
they do
have those two.
They do have those two, and they didn't do much yesterday either. I mean, they re-signed Jonathan Drouin, who was a good fit on a line with MacKinnon last year. They have Rantanen. Goaltender is still kind of an issue.
It is.
But yes, when you have MacKinnon playing as well as he did, obviously won all the awards this year, right? So hard to argue with that, but I feel like the Avalanche are slipping a little bit.
Toronto at plus 1,500.
They're always on the list.
No one ever actually believes they are, including me. They're not.
I like the moves Toronto made yesterday. They brought in Tanev. They gave him a contract I think they will inevitably regret, but that happens a lot in free agency. They brought in Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who reestablished himself in a year, in Florida for a year, won the Stanley Cup. I like the addition of Anthony Stolarz in goal. I think he's one of the more underrated goalies in the NHL, and I wonder if he'll get more playing time. But yes, when you have Austin Matthews and William Nylander and Mitch Marner, who I still think is going to be there, you're always going to be in that conversation. But I'll believe it when I see it with the Maple Leafs.
Then there's the Rangers at plus 1500 as well. I think they would certainly qualify as a Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah,
Vegas is interesting. Vegas is the only other team. Vegas is ninth on the list that is ahead of the Predators. And they just lost Jonathan Marchessault. I mean, when you look at their roster, they've actually lost a lot.
They lost Marchessault. They lost William Carrier. Yep. They lost Michael Amadio. Who else did they lose? They moved on from Chandler Stevenson, yep. Of course. They moved on from Riley Smith last year, who, by the way, was traded again to the Rangers from the Penguins. Yeah, they've lost, and they lost Alec Martinez. They lost a lot of the players that helped them win the Stanley Cup.
I think they are as high on this list because with them, you're always wondering, like, what's right around the corner.
There's going to be
another. And there's a lot of connection with them, rightly or wrong, to Marner.
Yeah.
Like, will they try to make a push for Marner?
I don't know how they're going to do it. But, watching Vegas lose all these players yesterday and the team did not, they didn't replace Marchessault, it makes me think that they're going to do something big before the start of the season because that's typically what they do. It's going to be a really big transaction because they're going to have to move money out. But, Vegas is aggressive, so I understand them being that high on that list.
So I'll put it to you this way. The teams that I think are clearly better than the Nashville Predators right now. I think the Florida Panthers are better.
Yes.
I think the Edmonton Oilers are better.
Yes.
I think the Dallas Stars are better.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be where the list
stops. As unequivocally better.
Unequivocally better. Now, there are teams that are probably better, like Carolina. I think can be better. I think Colorado can be better. Toronto, New York. Certainly can be better. And I might put New York as clearly better than them. They're pretty darn good. Vegas, are they clearly better than the Predators right now?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Is Vancouver clearly better than the Predators right now? Speaking of teams that didn't have a great day. No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Are the LA Kings, Boston Bruins clearly better than the Predators right now? No. So by that definition, I think you have to include the Predators as a team that could win the Stanley Cup. I think there are three to me that are kind of like head and shoulders above everybody else right now. I would go Florida, Edmonton, Dallas as my top three. And I don't think the Predators are in that tier. But I do think that they're right there with the Colorados, Vegas, Toronto's, Carolinas of the world based on what they've done yesterday.
Yeah. I think when you consider, the pedigrees of the players they added yesterday, the goal scoring they added yesterday. I saw this. I looked this up yesterday. The Predators were 15th in the NHL, so right in the middle, in goals scored by forwards last season. I believe it was 223 goals scored by forwards last season.
Yeah.
They added two forwards that scored a combined 82 goals last season.
That should help.
Now, are Marchessault and Stamkos going to both score 40 goals next season? Who knows?
Probably not.
I think it's a safe bet that if they both stay healthy and play the majority of the games, that 60 goals is a floor combined.
Oh, I would agree.
So I think you can count on them to at least get to 30 each. Now, beyond that, who's to say? But I think 60 combined for Marchessault and Stamkos is the floor.
I would agree.
So they're going to get better there. Shea is one of the better goal-scoring defensemen in the NHL.
Yep.
He had 13 goals last year, I believe, 11 at even strength, as I said yesterday. Over the past two seasons, the only two defensemen in the NHL who have scored more even strength goals than Brady Shea are Erik Karlsson and Cale Makar. End of list. He has the same amount of even strength goals over the past two seasons as Roman Josi. And Shea is a good all-around defender, but I think his impact is mostly felt in the offensive zone in terms of the amount of shot attempts he throws at the net, the goals he scores, his one-timers. Like, that's where Shea makes his biggest impact, is generating offense.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's good to have him with Roman Josi, like on the same team as Roman Josi, because you have another option there.
I want you to think about this power play unit that I'm about to roll off just off the top of my head. Ryan O'Reilly, Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi.
That sounds like a power play unit like the Oilers have or the Rangers have, where they're on the ice for the full 2 minutes.
Like, I think that needs to be the case.
Like, you know,
maybe not in like game 38 of the regular season, but in the playoffs, yes.
Can you name the Edmonton Oilers second power play unit?
No,
trick question.
I cannot.
You can't, because they don't have one.
Right.
Like, it's Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Zach Hyman, and Evan Bouchard. They're on the ice for 2 minutes.
Yes.
And in Washington, Alex Ovechkin is on the ice for 2 minutes. Like, that's just what happens. And, you know, I wonder if you wanted to make a second unit, maybe you put Nyquist on the first unit, you put Marchessault on the second unit to give them the score, you put Shea on the second unit to spell Roman Josi.
Evangelista. But I'm all about loading it up.
Yeah.
Load it up.
Absolutely. Like, the power play was a big issue in the playoffs. And, you know, it would be, you know, like we talked about this yesterday. With all due respect to Philip Forsberg, who's got a great shot, we obviously know that. Steven Stamkos, he owns the left circle.
Yeah.
That's his spot.
I think that should probably be, I think that's foregone conclusion.
Right, and it may not be Nikita Kucherov and Victor Hedman feeding Stamkos pucks on the power play, but Roman Josi, Jonathan Marchessault, Gus Nyquist.
And I don't think they typically had Forsberg on the left side anyway. Like, he kind of wheels.
Yeah.
Right around that top of the
right
circle.
I'd have to look at exactly like where most of his production came from on the power play. But Stamkos owns the left circle.
No doubt.
Just like Ovechkin owns the left circle in Washington.
No doubt.
Like, that's where he's going to be. And he scores a ton of goals from there. I mean, the guy attempted more one-timers than any other player in the NHL last season in all situations.
Yeah.
So that's a weapon that the Predators haven't had very much of. You know, probably since Shea Weber's heyday from the slap shot from the point. Have the Predators, that was probably the last time they had a weapon like Steven Stamkos' one-timer.
Well, and just thinking about that unit, because I think whether they start that way or not, you're eventually going to see a power play unit with those five.
Yes.
You're going to have 340 goal scorers on that unit, a guy that has been perennially in the Norris Trophy conversation, and a Conn Smythe winner in Ryan O'Reilly. That's a pretty darn impressive power play unit.
Yeah, I mean.
And, Andrew Brunette, power play savant. If you're Brunette, you can't ask for much more than that in terms of trying to coach up a power play.
No, he's got to be rubbing his hands together as he sits in front of that whiteboard putting together his lineup. But, yeah, I think the Predators should, they need to have a second unit, but I don't want to see them very much.
Unless they're just really tired, yeah. You need to stay on the bench.
Yeah.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Throwing it out there to you, are the Predators Stanley Cup contenders? We'll take your thoughts on that on our phone line. Again, our text line down. Give us a call, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Join us this Thursday, July the 4th, America, at the 18th Annual Music City Hot Chicken Festival at East Park. A spectacular day filled with live music, contests, and of course, hot chicken. It's free, so bring the whole family out there. Discover more at hotchickenfestival.com.
My side of town.
That's right.
Come to the east side, have some hot chicken.
Yep.
Enjoy it. So it's a really wonderful event. I always like to go. So you should make a point to go if you're around.
Hotchickenfestival.com. Check it out. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Taking your phone calls today throughout the show. Our text line is down. The YouTube chat is flowing. So appreciate everybody contributing on the YouTube chat as well.
We figured out the power play during the break.
We did.
So you have Steven Stamkos in the left circle.
Yep.
Philip Forsberg patrolling the right side of the ice, Roman Josi up top, Ryan O'Reilly in front of the net, Jonathan Marchessault in the bumper position in the slot. There you go.
Pretty good.
Never has to leave the ice. I'm telling you, like, if I am Andrew Brunette, I am employing the Oilers, Rangers, and I'm sure there are other teams as well, model that my top five power play guys don't leave the ice.
Yeah.
Unless absolutely necessary.
I agree.
There should be no second unit. That's all I'm saying. I mean, there should be, but used very, very,
very
rarely.
Very infrequently. I would agree. I would agree with that. At TN Newfie on YouTube says, they're a contender on paper, but can they have chemistry, learn a new system? No doubt these guys will do well, but the first month could be ugly, or they could be great. Power play should vastly improve. Another commenter on YouTube says, define contender. I think they're good enough on paper to be top eight and compete for a cup. Injuries could derail that, of course, but I like the bold moves. Should try to be president next. Burrow Ben says, it's already annoying with all this are we the best talk. I knew it would happen if the Preds got Stamkos. Getting ahead of yourselves, guys. This is from Ben on YouTube.
Well, I understand Ben's perspective. It's very easy to get wrapped up in the excitement of your team adding big-name players.
Sure.
And for the Predators, that doesn't happen very often, especially in free agency when it
almost
really,
never.
It never really happened until yesterday. So I understand where Ben is coming from. You know, there are plenty of questions about this team. We've mentioned the second-line center position. What's going to happen there? We've talked about the fact that the players they signed are older players, specifically Stamkos and Marchessault. They're both in their early to mid-30s. Their effectiveness, you know, their effective years, they don't have very many of them left, which is why it's important to win sooner rather than later if you're the Predators.
You're all in right now.
Yes. Yeah. But here's I think, where people are getting excited. So you're just talking about the roster. Yes, on paper. It's one of our favorite terms, on paper. We've talked about what you add in Stamkos, the lineage of Steven Stamkos. We've talked about the impact that Jonathan Marchessault has made on the offensive end over the past few years. Roman Josi was just the runner-up for the Norris Trophy again. He was a first-team NHL All-Star. Philip Forsberg is coming off a career year. He was a second-team NHL All-Star. Juuse Saros had a down year by his standards, but was still the fifth-best goalie in the league by Vezina Trophy voting. There is a lot to like about this team on paper. I know, on paper. You know, I think one of the other commenters talked about how the first month of the season could be rough. Think about what happened with the Florida Panthers two seasons ago. They were like, the Panthers were supposed to be as good two seasons ago as they were last season.
Correct.
The problem was it took them a while to figure it out, and that's why they were an eighth seed in the postseason. And they, of course, made it to the Stanley Cup final before losing to Vegas. And then they got their legs underneath them, and they were great from start to finish this past season. So it helps that this team, I played their best hockey down the stretch. It was rough for the Predators early in the season with Brunette. They did have to adjust to a change in style, but they did it.
Right.
And I think that will help Stamkos and Marchessault and Shea is now the returning players have a year under their belt playing for Andrew Brunette. I feel like there will be less of a learning curve for those for the team and by extension those players.
Well, and that may be, you know, Brunette said it yesterday, and it makes sense. Like that's probably what you just talked about there, a pretty good reason to leave Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist alone to begin the season and just let them start together, because of how well they played together last year. Now, I would not be married to that all year. Like I've talked about Nyquist. Like Nyquist had an unbelievable season for them last year. And I'm not saying that he's just going to go from 75 points to 30. But he had never approached what he did last year before. Can he really do that again? I don't know. We'll see. I have my doubts as to whether or not he could do that again. So does it get to a point, you know, and I talked about this yesterday, you know, Marchessault was playing on the left side with Vegas. Now, I think he can play the right.
I think actually he was playing the right.
He was playing, he has played both. Okay. At the end of the year last year, he was playing on the left.
I couldn't remember if he played on the left wing with Eichel or not.
He can play both.
Okay.
So he is the guy that I think clearly can move over. But, like, do you ever entertain the idea of having Forsberg, O'Reilly, Stamkos together? Like, I'm sure you'll probably see that at some point this year. Do you ever entertain the idea of having, you know, Forsberg down there with Novak, and you've got Stamkos and Marchessault playing with O'Reilly? Like, you, there's different options now that they've got at their disposal, and I'm really interested to see how Brunette handles that. I'm with you. Like, anybody who says, well, the O'Reilly line was so good last year, why would you break it up? I get it. Like, I would probably start that way. I would probably start with Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist together. But I don't – like, last year they didn't really have a choice. Like, they had to – those guys played really well. So, to their credit, why would you break it up when they were playing well anyway? But nobody else was really going to play. Like, it was those guys. And they, at times, just drug that team along offensively. Got a little bit more options if you're Andrew Brunette this year in terms of the way that you can construct your lineup.
I mean, one thing they can do as well, you know, we're talking about the Oilers in the previous segment. When the Oilers needed a goal,
they loaded up.
Chris Knobloch would put Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid on the same line.
Correct.
It was usually McDavid, Draisaitl, and Zach Hyman. So maybe they're not on the same line, Stamkos, Marchessault, Forsberg. Maybe they're on separate lines. But if you need a goal late in the game, you can put Marchessault on the top line. You can put Stamkos on the top line. You can load it up.
Yep.
And when you absolutely need a goal. And that's also good to have, is that I like when teams have those super lines that they can pull out when necessary. Now, I don't know if I would have it consistently, like on an everyday basis, but Predators are down a goal in a division game. They need to tie the score. Stamkos moves up to the right side with Forsberg and O'Reilly, or Marchessault moves up there.
Or Stamkos plays the middle, and you got Forsberg and Marchessault on your left and right.
Yeah.
You could do that, too.
I like when the Oilers do that. I think it's fun when the Oilers say, all right, we need a goal. Leon, Connor, get out there. And they usually dominate. And I think that's something the Predators can do, too.
Taking more of your thoughts, are the Nashville Predators Stanley Cup contenders? Your thoughts on the YouTube chat. Give us a call, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on our phone line as well. More coming up next. We'll also get into how the Predators' defense is constructed now as well with the addition of Brady Shea. That's coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. A massive day for the Predators yesterday in NHL free agency. We've been taking your thoughts on that all show long. Our text line down today, give us a call, 615-737-1025. The YouTube chat going as well. Take your thoughts on there. Brady Shea also added to the mix yesterday. We've talked a lot about Stamkos and Marchessault today. Brady Shea, 7 years, $7 million per season. So that's a hefty price that the Predators paid for Brady Shea. Now that he's in the fold, you brought Carrier back as well. So there was a point yesterday, Adam, where, you know, we went to bed Sunday night and Pierre LeBrun put it out there that Carrier was close to having a deal done. And then we heard basically nothing about Alex Carrier all day yesterday until right before the press conference with Barry Trotz. So I thought for a minute, like did Jonathan Marchessault's contract kind of come out of nowhere and the Predators felt like they had to pounce on it and that changed their plans with Carrier? But no, Carrier back in the fold, 3 years, just over $11 million, $3.75 million per year. So I think a nice deal for Carrier, a nice deal for the Predators. So with that in mind, Shea, Yossi, Shen, Carrier, I would assume Spencer Stastny, Dante Fabreau on the roster as well, Jeremy Lauzon. You've got your defense set if you're the Predators. How strong of a group do you think that is? How do you view the Predators on defense with the addition of Brady Shea?
I like the addition of Brady Shea. The big question for me is, do you put Shea on a pair with Roman Yossi? We saw McDonough and Yossi a lot together.
Yep.
With Yossi playing on his offhand because Shea is left-handed. Do you load up your top pair with Shea and Yossi? Or do you look for a more balanced approach and have Shea anchoring a second pair with another player? I mean, do you put Yossi with... So Yossi's most common partners last year, his most common partner was Dante Fabreau.
Yeah.
Followed by Ryan McDonough. And then he had some time with Luke Shen. Yossi didn't play a lot with Carrier last season. I like the idea of Yossi and Carrier. But then, you know, you're breaking up Lauzon and Carrier.
It doesn't sound like they have a much of an appetite to do that. Like, okay. Brunette was on with Stillman yesterday and was basically like, yeah, I don't know if I can see breaking up Lozon and Carrier. One thing that I think is a change that they're clearly not afraid of, like, I think they kind of like Yossi on the right.
Okay.
Now, I don't know that, you know, I don't know that it's going to be a permanent thing, but, you know, Brunette was talking yesterday about, you know, Yossi did really well on the right side, like does really well on the right. And I think they like the idea of kind of opening him up for that one-timer more often. So, you know, I'm with you. Is the best approach to load up the top unit and have Shea on the left, Yossi on the right? Maybe at times. Is that the best approach all the time? I don't know. Would you be better served kind of spreading out the wealth a little bit? But I'm interested to see what they do there because they're clearly, I think, not afraid of putting Yossi over on the right.
So how about Shea and Yossi, Lozon and Carrier, Stastny and Chen as your top six?
Yeah. I mean, you know, poor Dante Fabro, always the odd man out. But, yeah, I like it. Like, I thought late in the season and into the playoffs before he got hurt, I kind of like the Stastny Shen duo there. Like, Shen, basically, you just tell him to hang back. Stastny can move really, really well. We know, you know Stastny, I think he's going to be a good player for them. I don't know if he's going to be like some superstar defenseman, but I think he's a good player. So I like that makeup there. I think most Predators fans would probably say, well, just take Luke Shen out and put Dante Fabro in. I don't think they're going to do that, but it's nice to have Fabro around.
Yeah, absolutely. I still don't think he's going to be on this team for that much longer.
Well, he was definitely one person I thought about yesterday when Barry Trotz said that he's probably looking to move somebody out. I think he could be a candidate for that. It could be Glass. It could be, you know, we had some people ask today, could it be Novak? I mean, maybe. I would be surprised by that, but maybe.
They just signed him.
They just signed. I mean, that doesn't mean you can't move him out, right. But they. You know, I would be surprised if it was Novak. I mean, if it's Novak, what are you replacing him with, right?
Cody Glass.
Somebody's going to have to play center. So, probably, yeah, Cody Glass. So, Fabro could be who Barry Trotz is referring to. I don't know. Maybe he's the guy that gets moved out. That'd be $2.5 million off the books.
It's good to have him. You know, he has a lot of experience playing big minutes, but as I said yesterday, it just feels like every time you think Dante Fabro was going to take a step, he kind of bumps his head on the ceiling.
And my question would be, you know, $2.5 million is not a huge amount of money. It is a decent amount of money to be paying somebody who's not playing.
Correct.
Right? So would you be better off trying to move out Dante Fabro and then just bringing up Del Guizzo to be your seventh defenseman?
Yeah, I think you don't want your depth defenseman, as you said, making a significant amount. Now, $2.5 million might not seem like a significant amount, but for a team that's apparently, well, not apparently, is over the cap, $2.5 million is something. You know, I think your depth defenseman needs to be a guy on like a league minimum deal or thereabouts, so, or an entry-level contract.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that if they are looking to create some sort of wiggle room under the cap, I feel like Dante Fabro is a prime candidate to be moved. And if you move him and Glass, how much does that save you? What's Glass making?
I think he's making – is he making $2.5 million as well?
I don't know off the top of my head, but you move both of them, and that's $5 million then, right? So
yeah, he's making $2.5 million.
All right, so they're both making $2.5 million. So maybe you move both of them, you know?
But how do you move Cody Glass? Because here's why I ask that. I think if they could move, if they could have moved Cody Glass,
they would have done it already.
It would have happened already. I don't know who out there is looking at that and saying, yeah, I'll take on Cody Glass for $2.5 million.
And you can bury him in the minors,
yeah,
and save some money. I think you have to carry like a 1.15 or 1.2. I don't remember what the calculus is. You can't put his entire cap hit in the minors. But you can put probably about half of it.
Yeah.
So that saves you some money. I mean, that could
be what you have to do.
You might have to bury him in the minors, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, if he doesn't, quote-unquote, make the team, then he's going through waivers. I doubt somebody's picking him up on waivers. But, I mean, if they did, that would solve your problem right there. But, I mean, that was my approach. Like, somebody asked me about Glass yesterday, could they trade him? And I'm not going to say that the answer is unequivocally no. But my guess is they have probably already looked at that. That would be my guess.
I would have to imagine so. I just heard what Andrew Brunette had to say about Cody Glass at the end of the season, similar to what he said about Philip Tomasino. But yep. I feel like with Philip Tomasino, he at least like had some optimism. It sounded like he had some optimism.
With Cody Glass, he was like, he's got to figure out if he actually wants to play.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, it's not good. And look, anybody who's been around Cody Glass, great kid. Great kid. Wish nothing but the best for him. And one of the best moments of the entire regular season last year was his hat trick. It was awesome. And to watch his emotion after that, it was great. So hopefully he's in a good spot mentally heading into this year where you can – whatever his best version is. Because I will say, I don't think we saw that last year. He showed enough the year before to where I know he's a better player than what he put out there last year. He is not – like the idea that he's going to one day turn into – anything close to living up to the draft pick that he is, like, he's not. But can he be a decent bottom six player for you? Maybe. But I think he's running out of chances here. Like, I mean, like it or not, there are guys coming up that are passing him that I don't know that I see a future for him here with this team.
And that's how I feel about Fabbro. Like, you know, Carrier has passed him big time. You know, I feel like at one point they were on level footing. Maybe even Fabbro was ahead of Carrier. But over the past few years, Carrier has overtaken Fabbro on the depth chart.
Yeah.
So, you know, it might be wise to move both. You may just have to – I mean, if Cody Glass might be a future considerations type trade.
He might be.
Just take him. Just take him. Or a seventh-round draft pick.
Anaheim.
Yes. Just take him. Like, that might be the move for Cody Glass, but – if you're looking for cap space, you know, instead of having two guys on your team that make $2.5 million per season sitting on the bench, you could have the, you know, Yusel Parsonen and Mark Delgado who make little money and save yourself some room. Like that would be a wise investment.
It was interesting to hear Stamkos talk yesterday about kind of like the construction of a roster, right? So it is true. Like when you think about the ingredients to win a championship. Elite forward is the first thing I think of. Like, you got to have some elite forwards. I think Philip Forsberg would qualify as an elite forward. You know, he's not Connor McDavid, but he's an elite forward. Steven Stamkos is an elite forward. Jonathan Marchessault is an elite forward. He talked about Stanley Cup winners having an absolute stud defenseman. And when you look around, like, you know, Vegas had basically a defensive group by committee, but they got some studs back there. You know, Forsling turned into a heck of a player for Florida. Obviously in Tampa, we know Hedman. Josi fits that bill with the Predators. And then in goal, you got Saros. Like he kind of went through the checklist of you got to have elite forwards, you got to have one stud defenseman, and you got to have a really good goalie. And kind of going through the checklist of part of that being part of the reason why Nashville was attractive to him. And it's interesting to think about it from that way. Like, we've talked all hour about them being a Stanley Cup contender, or do they have the DNA of a Stanley Cup champion? Like, when you look at their roster, is it constructed in a way where you say, yeah, that reminds me of some Stanley Cup champions that I've seen in the past? And I still don't feel great about center, which is my big hesitation here.
Mine as well.
But I do. You can see some of the other parts of the roster. Like when you factor in what he was talking about with elite forwards, stud defensemen, stud goalie, they definitely have that.
Yeah. I mean, quickly, you can think about the teams that have won in recent years. You know, there are some exceptions. Aiden Hill would not be considered a stud goalie. Now, he played like one, but he wasn't a stud goalie.
Right.
You know, the Golden Knights on the backhand had Alex Pietrangelo, Shea Theodore, Alec Martinez, you know, they had a really deep defense group. Obviously, the Colorado Avalanche have Cale Makar.
Yep.
And they didn't have a stud goalie either. Darcy Kemper was average during that playoffs. During those playoffs.
A couple freak shows up there, though.
Yeah, but they do have a couple of freaks up there. You know, obviously, Stamkos would know. He had Andrei Vasilevsky. He had Victor Hedman. And I would put Roman Josi in the same class as Victor Hedman in terms of, you know, where he ranks in the pecking order of top defensemen.
Yep.
And now UC Saros does not have the trophy case that Andrei Vasilevskiy does. But I would say that UC Saros, in terms of where he would rank among the top goalies in the league, is not far off from Vasilevskiy.
I would agree.
I would not put them on the same tier.
No.
But I don't think there would be very many goalies between them. Maybe two or three.
Well, I think there's always pressure on your goalie. But I think, and I said this when they signed him, I think there's significant pressure on him, and I think it ramped up yesterday. Like, you have now surrounded him with pieces where this should be the best shot he's had, right? Like, we've talked about UC Saros' playoff record, and is he ever going to get it done in the playoffs? Can he win a playoff series, all that stuff? And I do think it's fair to say that when he's been in the playoffs, with the exception of the Arizona bubble series and how weird that was, the Predators have been the underdog in all of those. Like, they were the underdog against Carolina. He didn't play against Colorado, and they were the underdog against Vancouver. Like, I'm not saying – I don't know who their matchup is going to be in the playoffs next year, but this is, I think, clearly on paper the best shot that they've had with him as starting goalie.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, you know, the Arizona series in the qualifying round was not good for anybody.
No.
Saros was not good in that series. The team itself was not good in that series. It was bad. But the other two series that Saros has started, the series against the Hurricanes and the series against the Canucks, I said this with Willie last week, I am still on team, you know, this town ain't big enough for the two of them. I am firmly in the camp of, now that UC Saros has been re-signed, you have to trade Yaroslav Askarov. That's just the team I'm on. But I do not subscribe to the theory that UC Saros is incapable of winning a playoff series. He was good against Carolina. He was good especially at the end of the series against Vancouver.
He had a rough game
at the start, but he was lights out in games 5 and 6.
Yep.
The reason why the Predators were unable to win those series, specifically this past series, was because they couldn't score goals.
Yep.
That's not on UC Saros. UC Saros allowed the Predators allowed 13 goals in 6 games. Now, I don't know how many empty netters there were in there, so Saros didn't allow 13 goals, I don't think, in 6 games. But they allowed 13 goals in 6 games. That's 2.17, I believe, goals against, yep, per game. That should win you a playoff series. The problem is the Predators averaged 2 goals a game.
Right.
Scoring. So I don't put that on Saros. I think, but now you're right. The fact that they have built this team up and people think it's going to be, you know, a force to be reckoned with, that puts pressure on UC Saros to finally get over that hump.
I want to drill down on the Stamkos part of this coming up next. How big a deal is this for the city, for the franchise, to have Steven Stamkos on your hockey team? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Got some tickets to give away. A 4-pack of tickets to see the Nashville Sounds take on Iowa next Thursday, July the 11th at First Horizon Park. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on Iowa next Thursday, July the 11th at First Horizon Park. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning. Adam, we woke up today, and Steven Stamkos is a Nashville Predator. Imagine saying that sentence a couple of years ago. Steven Stamkos, Nashville Predator. It was interesting because I went back and freezing cold taked myself yesterday when I talked about after the McDonough trade of, well, you can pretty much forget about Steven Stamkos if you're a Predators fan, because the McDonough trade signaled to me, and I think to a lot of people, and I think potentially even to Steven Stamkos, that the Lightning were putting the band back together and they're going to make one last kind of like kick at the can run here to try to win another Stanley Cup. And we know what went down with the Lightning, and I think Stamkos, based on his comments yesterday at a couple of different places, is pretty hurt by the way that things ultimately transpired in Tampa Bay. But Steven Stamkos is a Nashville Predator. So I was thinking about this last night, like trying to put this in the context of the city as a whole. Like when you want to factor in the Titans, the Preds, like how big a deal is this? Now, this is not Steven Stamkos at 27, you know, in the prime of his career. It's Steven Stamkos at 34. Now, it is also Steven Stamkos coming off of 80-point, 40-goal season. So still a very productive player and still a player that I think has a chance to make a huge impact on this team and on this franchise. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, as a city, with the professional sports franchises that we have here, the bottom line is we just have not seen very many guys like the caliber of Steven Stamkos roll through here, right? I mean, especially free agent-wise. Like, when you look at the free agent history of the Predators and the Titans, it's not a very illustrious list. Like, people don't often actively choose to come play for the Predators or the Tennessee Titans, and that's what Steven Stamkos did yesterday. I think that, in and of itself, is a huge deal. And you're talking about an all-time great player. Like, he's one of the greatest shooters in the history of the game. By the time his career's over, he's going to end up with, I don't know, 650, 700 goals, somewhere in that neighborhood. He's at 555 right now. So we know he's playing for another 4 years. Could he end up with close to 700 goals? Like, you're talking about an all-time great player at that point. So the Steven Stamkos being a Nashville Predator, what do you think that means for this market?
Well, you said it earlier. You said you received multiple texts from people who were, you would consider, casual hockey fans that were excited about Steven Stamkos playing for the Predators.
Yep.
And the only thing that I can think of that could be comparable that I experienced is what happened when the Predators traded for P.K. Subban. I remember how much excitement there was for P.K. Subban to join the Predators. Now, Subban was still in the prime of his career at that point. But if I'm not mistaken, when the Predators announced that P.K. Subban was making his preseason Predators debut,
yep,
I think it was a sellout.
Yeah.
Like, the Predators sold out a preseason game on the back of P.K. Subban. And I think that Stamkos occupies a similar position. He's been in the league for 16 years. And by the way, I know I made a complete fool of myself yesterday with my how many players have left their team after 16 seasons. I finally got the list from the NHL after the show. I believe Stamkos is the 19th player.
That's still not very many players, to your defense.
Yes, the 19th player in NHL history that they have in recorded history who played at least 16 seasons with one team before switching clubs. So, and many of the players on the list are either members of the Hockey Hall of Fame or soon to be members of the Hockey Hall of Fame, and I would include Steven Stamkos in that as well.
Yeah.
So, I think the fact that now you have a player that most casual hockey fans know, you know, Robbie, you and I are around the game. Nick's around the game. We've been around the Predators. We know this stuff inside and out for the most part.
Yeah.
So we, like, when we talk about, you know, the prospect of the Predators signing Chandler Stephenson, we can talk about Chandler Stephenson, but a lot of casual hockey fans might not know Chandler Stephenson. But, you know, Steven Stamkos, if you watch hockey at all, you know who Steven Stamkos is. And I looked this up, hopefully I'm remembering correctly, there has never been a 91 in Predators history. So there are going to be a lot of Stamkos jerseys that are sold. There are going to be a lot of people who are Steven Stamkos fans.
Yep.
I remember that was one thing about P.K. Subban.
They didn't really care about the team. It was him. Yeah.
They were fans of P.K. Subban.
Right.
And by extension, they became Predators fans. There are probably people out there who are Steven Stamkos fans who will become fans of the Predators because Steven Stamkos plays for them.
I was talking with somebody yesterday that works inside the Predators organization. And they said to me, I knew Stamkos was popular. I didn't realize how popular until today. The guy is he's a superstar. You can make the argument, and I would be interested to hear people's thoughts on this, because I think there are a couple of guys that you can make a really compelling case for, including maybe one that's still playing, but you can make a really compelling case for. Like, is he the greatest player in terms of just career accomplishment? Is Steven Stamkos the greatest player that has ever played here?
Yes, I think so. In terms of Predators or all of sports or of Titans?
I mean,
too.
You could go Predators and Titans, but Predators. I think it would be Peter Forsberg. Now, he only played here for 17 games, So you've got a cup of coffee here with the Preds. But you're talking Hall of Famer, two-time cup winner. I mean, he had 885 points in 700 games. Now, injuries cut his career short. I think most people think Peter Forsberg played for like 1,300 games, and he didn't. He played 708. So, but he's a great player, obviously. Paul Kariya, great player. We talked about that yesterday. Shea Weber, now Hockey Hall of Famer. Roman Josi is a great player. But I think Steven Stamkos, just in terms of accomplishment, is the greatest player they've ever had.
I believe he's the only number one overall pick.
That is correct.
To play for the Predators. He's a two-time Stanley Cup winner.
Yeah.
He was the captain of the Lightning for 10 years. He is a two-time goal-scoring champion.
Right.
He's been a postseason All-Star two times. He's probably been an in-season All-Star. He's been an in-season All-Star seven times.
Right.
He's been a postseason All-Star two times, second team both times. Won the goal-scoring trophy, the Rocket Richard Trophy, in 2010 and 2012.
Yeah.
Like, it is hard to find another player with that pedigree who has donned a Predators jersey. Now, they've had good players. I mean, we just talked about Shea Weber going into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Shea Weber is a great player, but Shea Weber never won the Stanley Cup. Shea Weber never won a Norris Trophy, when we would disagree with the fact that he never won a Norris Trophy.
Yep.
But Stamkos, to me, just based on his longevity, his ability to score, his team accomplishments, his individual accomplishments, I think it's hard to argue that Stamkos is the most decorated player to ever put on. He hasn't really put it on yet, but he will put on a Predators jersey.
I think the only other guy is Peter Forsberg. Like, that's the only other guy. Like, Kariya, Hall of Famer. Forsberg is the only other one that's two-time Cup winner, Hall of Famer, and played it like at that high of a level. And Stamkos has done it for longer than Forsberg did it. But I think that's really like the only other guy. Like, Titans-wise, you know, free agency, when you think about Titans stars all time, you know, McNair, homegrown, Eddie George, homegrown, Chris Johnson, homegrown, Derrick Henry, homegrown. Like, it's mainly draft picks. You know, free agent-wise, Delanie Walker was a great free agent signing. They've had a couple of guys that were good free agent signings. But for the most part, they've all been homegrown. Like, I think this is the best, in terms of what they've accomplished in their career and the level that they're still playing at in their career. This is potentially the top. Now, Hopkins is a good player, obviously, for the Titans. You know, Julio was a trade.
I would have thrown
Randy Moss.
I would have thrown Randy Moss in there, but he barely played.
I did the playing at the level they're playing at right now, because Randy Moss caught like a pass for the Titans, maybe.
But it's in the record book.
It's in the record book.
But
Steven Stamkos hasn't done anything.
Yeah, but no, so. Just based on what he has accomplished in his career, I have a hard time arguing against Steven Stamkos being the greatest player to be a part of this organization.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on that. Preds fans, this is your day. Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, Brady Shea added to the group yesterday. We'll take your thoughts on that. What does it mean for this team? What does it mean for this franchise? 615-737-1025. Again, our text line down, so give us a call on our phone line today. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.